This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jason Parrott.
The Poynter Institute reported that the Knight Foundation has announced it's donating $1.2 million to try to make America's newsrooms more diverse. The Poynter story said the money is going to the Maynard Institute, whose mission centers around newsroom and coverage diversity. In the program's pilot phase, two organizations will see a specialist embedded in their newsrooms for 6 months to consult on improving content, including better informing underserved communities and focusing on hiring and retention. And so us three white guys are going to sit around a table and talk about diversity today.
Well, we have I could speak for just in my role as the advisor at our student newspaper here at the university. We have a fairly diverse newsroom of students. The issue being, though, that between my day as a student 20 plus years ago and here in this day and age, where the student newspaper still alive and well and thriving, yet the students that come into it, and not all students that came into the student newspaper were going to be aspiring journalists. These were folks that just wanted to be an editor or writer, see their name in print or take a picture for the paper or cover sports or whatnot. But I see more and more, as we've talked about in this program before, that fewer of the students who participate in the student newspaper are not really shooting for a job in journalism. I have a lot of folks that work in advertising that are aligned and going into accounting and business, but there are fewer and fewer of these students that are really looking to get into a newspaper or whatnot. Maybe they might be getting into public relations or where they're going to have some kind of a career field that is writer or communications heavy. But it's not as much than in my old day. And again, it's just a change of the guard. But that's
so you feel you have a fairly diverse newsroom at
yes.
the Courier, but they are not necessarily future journalists.
Correct. And that's not reflected in the newsrooms. Case in point, the newsroom that I came from. You know, we had a diversity program within our corporation at McClatchy. But we didn't have very many a very diverse newsroom, and it wasn't for a lack of trying though either. But it was a goal within the company, and I've seen this firsthand.
Yeah, and I would imagine you know part of the challenge is when you have an opening, getting a diverse pool of candidates to apply,
right.
And part of that is going to depend on where you advertise the position. Your human resources or whoever is in charge of advertising a position is going to have to start to reach out to publications that might appeal to a more diverse potential applicant pool.
And it sounds like one of the things that's key with this is you have the money that's being – it sounds like it's being split. It's one, looking at the hiring and retention side, which goes into what you're talking about. And the other side of it is making sure that you're covering the diverse nature of your community, making sure you're getting into those underserved areas. I think that's an even more key part. That's just as important of it is making sure that when you're hearing voices on the radio or hearing or the interviews in the newspaper or seeing people on TV, that they're lining up with your community. And that's something that every newsroom strives to work on. You want to bring as many different voices as you can. And if they're putting those resources in to being able to help, maybe it means hiring three or four more people for that 6 month period. Your assignment is this, your assignment is that. You're going to just focus on these issues. That's that opportunity. I think that's a key way for this money to be spent to really make sure that the voices you're hearing are the voices that represent your community.
And these communities, for example, in Western Illinois, some of these had largely or almost entirely white populations for many years and decades, but are becoming more diverse for a variety of factors now. Beardstown is always pointed to as this example of a community that has become quite a bit more diverse. Rushville, Monmouth, even Macomb, you're seeing, I think, more diversity. And as a result of that, you have to think about what you're going to cover and trying to give voice to all aspects of your local community.
Yeah, there's certain – I mean, you go to certain events and there's only a few people that you'll be able to talk to. And those are kind of the – you know what? You chalk it up. No matter what, this – white male is probably the only person that I can talk to because they're in charge of the meeting and they're the one doing this.
You're talking maybe like a city council meeting. The person, the mayor or the city manager or city administrator is someone you're going to go to for information because they know the most about the topics being discussed.
Exactly. It's those situations where maybe you go to a rally or maybe you go to an event where there's 100 people there that you have to choose from. Then you have that opportunity to think, okay, let's try to talk to a bunch of different people, get a really nice mix, and then see how that the story goes from there. So there are those instances where you can't do it, but also you're presented with those opportunities that you can quite easily because it's a large setting and there's going to be more people there and you can bring those more voices to it.
And I think you're right about the point you made, Rich, about I think some of the – even these smaller rural communities of which we're in here in Western Illinois, I think they're a little more diverse – not very, but a little more diverse than we might realize. I started my career up the road in a West Central Illinois community in Kewaunee, and it has a very large Hispanic population. And our newsroom was very aware of that. And when something, some kind of an issue happened that related to or would impact that culture, it was something that we were aware of and we would possibly look into a story. And, of course, when I moved on down to greater Metro St. Louis, of course, very diverse area where we were always talking about that in the newsroom. When we're talking about doing especially man-on-the-street kind of stories and getting public feedback, we would make sure that we were touching on people from all kinds of ethnicities and backgrounds when we're doing our stories and being conscious of those kinds of things.
Yeah, and that's important because you shouldn't just be doing Latino, for example, Latino stories about Latino issues.
Yes.
There are issues in the greater community that affect everyone, no matter your gender or race, et cetera.
Right.
And so we should be striving to get hear from various voices. You know, the example with the city council meeting, I don't know about you, Jason, but hardly anyone from the public shows up to these meetings, so it's tough to get someone there. But if they are discussing an issue that could impact the entire community, maybe a follow-up story is to go out and find a more diverse range of voices to comment on this issue that's before the city council.
And that comes with knowing your community and being a part of your community.
Yeah.
And that dates back to some other discussions we've had regarding losing news and losing staff and shrinking newsrooms is not knowing the communities and just saying, oh, well, it's on the Associated Press wire, so we'll go with that. That's a key to it. You know your communities. You know who you can talk to. You can know – even if they say, hey, you know what? I'm looking for somebody to talk to about this. Can you help me out? Having those people that you know that you can go to and say, I'm looking for someone to talk about this issue. Who can you suggest? And then you go from there.
And from here, I'm going to say that we need to wrap things up for today. But our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.